What a game. What a comeback. Today's Locked On Dodgers is talking about the Dodgers' six-run comeback in the final three innings over the Cardinals. Austin Barnes fell, and that could be the reason why the Dodgers ended up pulling out the W. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about everything else. That's what's on tap, so make sure to keep it Locked On Dodgers.
You are Locked On Dodgers, your daily Los Angeles Dodgers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yo, 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 Dodger fans, welcome to Locked On Dodgers. We are part of the Locked On Podcast Network, the number one local sports daily podcast network. Locked On, your team every day. Today's episode is brought to you by Bet Online. Bet Online has you covered this season with more props, more odds, and more lines than ever before. Bet Online, where the game starts. I would have loved to have seen where the Bet Online odds were when the Dodgers were down 6-0 in the seventh inning. This is Locked On Dodgers. I'm Vince Samperio, and that is my co-host, Jeff Snyder. We're both lifelong Dodger fans that have covered the team in a variety of ways, and we're here now covering it. And one of the ways we cover is via this podcast where we talk about the Dodgers. If this is your first time watching or listening, you can find us when you search Locked On Dodgers, wherever you get podcasts, and on YouTube. All that's out of the way, and now we can talk about the fun part, which is the Dodgers, after nearly completing the comeback, being down five runs on Tuesday, and how it looked like they may have wasted another opportunity to do the same on Wednesday. The Dodgers ended up coming through in the ninth inning to take the lead, and Evan Phillips made it easy on us in the bottom of the ninth, and the Dodgers came back from being down 6-0. I see some tweets out there that have said the Dodgers win probability was under 1% at one point. So it's one of those games where fun to watch. Frustrating at the beginning. The Dodgers did leave 11 men on base at some point before the comeback started. I don't remember what it was at the end of the game. But, yeah, Jeff, a lot to get into, but just a fun game to watch and be a part of in the social community.
Yeah, this game was kind of the 2018 season rolled into one game because – you know, you remember in 2018, they had so many games where they got lots of hits and just couldn't get the hit with runners in scoring position. They ended up, you know, having to go to a game 163, but they turned it on when it mattered, ended up going to World Series. This was kind of all of that condensed into nine innings because against Wainwright, yeah, they got a lot of traffic and they couldn't get it in. And, but I mean, they got Wainwright's pitch count up. Wainwright had to throw way too many pitches just to get through what he went into the sixth inning. Yeah. I think, but he threw like 850 pitches, and that's because the Dodgers battled so hard in Tuesday's game, and so the Cardinals had to use all their top relievers in Tuesday's game, and you know, not having what's Helsley, yeah. Not having him available, that dude who throws 103 miles an hour and is unhittable, that was a big deal. But they worked him yesterday, you know. It kind of shows how everything's interconnected. The fact that they went with, you know, we'll talk a little bit later about going with Craig Kimbrell in the eighth and Evan Phillips in the ninth. But the fact that both of those guys were available was at least in part due to the fact that Dave Roberts didn't panic and yank Mitch White after the second inning yesterday when it was clear that he didn't have it. You know, it was.
And same with Gonsolin in this game.
Yeah, absolutely. Gonsolin had to wear it a little bit, and he did a good job of settling down a little bit, you know, got through five innings and, yeah, and turned over the bullpen that was – there were guys, some of the top guys were rested, and as the Dodgers creeped back, you know, yeah, it looked like it might be one of those games where they just, you know, have somebody finish it off and not really be high-leverage guys, but then the offense turned it into a high-leverage situation, and those guys were available. And I think it – yeah, I know I just mainly talked about Dave Roberts and his decisions yesterday – but I think this kind of underscores the fact that Dave Roberts is very rarely managing to win today. He's managing to win as much as possible. And I really do believe that things like having David Price pitch the eighth yesterday instead of one of the higher leverage relievers maybe decreased their chances of winning yesterday, but probably increased their chances of winning the next three or four days and overall. So it's a tricky thing, but man, this was a fun game. The one I can compare it most to, even though it was totally different, was that comeback against the Mets in 2019, I think, when they scored, well, I don't know, five or six or seven in the ninth inning.
Yeah, walk four off, or five off Diaz on the ninth.
Off Edwin Diaz, walk off sack fly by Alex Verdugo. And just because you remember that day, I was doing the podcast solo because you were at the game, and I was so annoyed by that stupid game that I recorded the podcast before the game was even over. I already had it in the bank. It was uploaded and scheduled to go. And then the Dodgers came back and won. I've never been so happy to have to delete an episode and re-record. And that, you know, just how a mood can change so quickly. That's what this game reminded me of, because the first six innings, yeah, it was frustrating and it sucked. And then the last three innings, you know, Mitch or Will Smith hits the home run. You're like, all right, we're on the board. And then they get three more in the eighth inning. You're like, okay. And then, but it's the bottom of the order coming up. And I think we got to talk about the guys who contributed in that ninth inning, because it was not the guys you might expect.
Yeah, I mean, definitely not the guys you think of, especially one who was kind of, you know, already got people mad yesterday for Dave Roberts using him, where people were mad again today for Dave Roberts using him in an earlier situation. Hanser Alberto comes through with the go-ahead single there, but they don't get there, you know, without Bellinger, who at times, even in this series, has looked like he has no chance of hitting the ball, but he gets a single. You know, Justin Turner starts it off with a double. Austin Barnes pinch runs and ends up being a story, which we'll talk about. But it's a game where, you know, Mookie Betts was 1-for-6. He didn't, you know, contribute too much. He did score one run and did drive in a run, but, you know, wasn't quite there. A big run, but still, you know, Trey Turner, Freddie Freeman, Will Smith continue to do their damage there in the 2-3-4. But then you got Bellinger, ended up 2-for-5 with two runs scored. And Turner only had the one hit, but it was a big hit. You know, Muncy didn't have any hits, but scored one run and
also didn't have any at bats.
Yeah.
0-for-0 with four walks and a sack fly. One of my favorite lines ever, you know, an RBI and a run scored without an at bat.
Yeah. So it just came down to, you know, kind of what we've talked about all year. If Freeman and Turner and Trey and, you know, Will Smith and Mookie, if those guys do their job, they only need the rest of the guys to do their job occasionally. Especially with the way the pitching is. Now today, the pitching, you know, Gonsolin got shelled for the first time, had his roughest outing, gave up the most runs, ERA setting over 2 now for the first time in a while. But, you know, other than that, the rest of the pitching came in. Vesey did give up one run, but then, you know, Ferguson, Kimbrel, Phillips all went scoreless innings. And then you got the contributions from Justin and contributions from Bellinger and contributions from Alberto. And that's how you complete these comebacks, because, you know, no matter how strong the top of your order is, they can only score 3 runs at a time. And if you're down by 6, they have to bat twice in order for that to work out. If they score, that means they score every single time they get. So that's how you get these games. That's how you win these type of games. You know, they needed the one hit yesterday. They didn't get it. They got the hits, or at least the deep enough sack fly on Muncy's end last, you know, it didn't hit one deep enough last night. Hits one deep enough tonight. And yeah, it's just one of those where you feel good, because especially against the Cardinals, especially, you know, everything else, especially after, you know, not for Robert's sake, but, you know, everyone mad at Roberts yesterday. People starting to get mad at Roberts again. And it's like, look, you know, sometimes the players have to go out and do it. And that's what they did.
Yeah, absolutely. And it really was a team victory. And it's kind of fitting. Tony Gonsolin has been so good this year. It's really fitting that the first time he has a clunker, the team picks him up and says, we're not putting that loss on your record. Stay 11-0, buddy. You know, you still got a chance to pass Alex Wood for best start in Dodger history. And when Alex Wood's 11-0 streak stopped, he gave up a grand slam to the opposing pitcher. Tony Gonsolin didn't do that. So, yeah, I mean, it was a great, great, great team victory. And in the last 3 days, the Dodgers have been down by 5 twice in a game, and then by 5 the next game, and by 6 this game. And they're 2-1 in that time and have a positive run differential in those games. Like, oh yeah, and the Padres lost. Dodgers up 8.5 games. You know, it's a great day.
Yeah, great all around. We'll continue to talk about it. Talk about some of the Roberts decisions that people were confused about and then ended up working out. And we'll just talk about how, you know, yesterday's game maybe contributes to tonight's game. First, let's talk about Blue Nile, because if you are somebody looking for the engagement ring of her dreams, if you're ready to pop the question, or even if you're just celebrating a milestone moment, you can find jewelry as unique as she is with the modern convenience of online shopping at BlueNile.com. BlueNile.com online, you can do everything. You can choose a diamond shape, choose a size, choose a clarity, as well as a setting style. and then they'll handcraft the perfect ring for her, because each ring will come to you one of a kind. But the best part is, if you don't know much about jewelry or rings or have some questions, Blue Nile will have some answers, because they have jewelry experts on hand 24/7, available via phone or chat, to help you find a memorable gift at every budget. And right now, Locked On Dodgers listeners can get $50 off a purchase of $500 or more with the promo code Locked On. This podcast exclusive even includes engagement rings, so don't miss out. $50 off purchases of $500 or more with the code Locked On. Every order is insured, ships free, and arrives in discreet packaging, so she won't know what's going on. Shop stress-free and find your forever peace. Go to BlueNile.com today. All right, Jeff, we're back in it. And, you know, let's talk about the decision to pinch hit Hanser Alberto there in the sixth inning for Lux in a situation where the Dodgers could have put some more runs on the board. It didn't end up working out that time. You know, Roberts went for the platoon advantage, if you can consider Alberto an advantage at any point this year. But it ended up working out against the platoon advantage there in the ninth inning when he picks up the big hit to put the Dodgers ahead. But just one of those where, you know, from what we talked about and what we know, and, you know, kind of what makes Roberts the manager that he is no knee-jerk decisions. You know, didn't work out yesterday when he has Hanser out there in the situation, but he goes right back to him and plays the matchup. And while it might not always, you know, even I was kind of upset that they didn't let Lux hit at that point, just because, you know, realistically between Lux and Hanser, I'm going to imagine they have similar bad numbers against left-handed pitching this season anyways. And when you this deep into a season, you can't really, you know, hope on past season's work in order to kind of guide your influence. But Roberts went to it. It didn't work out there. Alberto struck out. Didn't swing at – there was only one strike thrown, I think, that whole at-bat. And he swung at the two other ones and made two strikes out of nothing. But either way, he came through, and it just shows, you know, he's going to stick to what he is for now. And, you know, that might not happen in the postseason, but it's going to happen right now.
Yeah, I understood in Tuesday's game not pinch hitting for Hanser with Lux against the lefty, because the reason Hanser was in the lineup to start with was because the bolt guy was a lefty. And so you can't really get away with pinch hitting for him with Lux against a different lefty. It kind of throws that platoon thing out the window. And it's not really a platoon. That's where you maybe could have gotten away with it, because Lux is the starter. He does play against lefties quite a bit. And in this situation, it's different because they actually pinch hit for Lux with Hanser. I wouldn't have done that, mostly because Hennessy Cabrera is not much of a strike thrower, as we saw in that bat to Hanser. And maybe against Lux, maybe he throws more strikes because he knows that he has to against Lux and doesn't have to against, I mean, really the biggest mistake the Cardinals made all night was throwing a strike to Hanser in the ninth inning. Cause you don't got to throw a strike to that dude to make him swing the bat. But yeah, I wouldn't have pinch hit for Lux, but it, you know, one of my main goals in life is to be humble enough to recognize there's a difference between that's not what I would have done and that's the wrong decision. And whether it was the right decision or not, you know, that's debatable. Not a debate I'm really interested in having, just because we don't have alternate universes, so we don't know what would have happened. But yeah, you know, chances are Gavin Lux maybe draws a walk against Cabrera instead of striking out, so maybe that goes better. And chances are that Lux has at least as good a chance as Hanser does in the ninth inning of getting that hit. But Hanser's on the roster right now, and that's the role that he's on the roster for. So as long as he's on the roster, you kind of got to keep giving him those chances, and either he starts doing better in those opportunities, and maybe this ninth inning was the start of something new, or you give him enough rope to hang himself with. And, you know, maybe at some point you say, okay, Hanser, well, it was fun. We appreciate all you did for us, but you're not quite what we're looking for in a right-handed bench off the bat. And whether that's a phantom IL stint so he can keep being that fun presence, veteran presence on the bench, or it's, you know, setting him off somewhere else, I don't know. But, you know, I think you have to give him these opportunities to find out if he is going to fill that role that you signed him to fill.
Yeah, and that's what it is. And similar to what we talked about yesterday with Max Muncy and what we've talked about kind of a lot of the times is, you know, the Dodgers are finding out or playing to find out their October roster, you know, and now that they've opened up an 8-game division lead, they have a little bit more of that leash to everybody. You know,
eight
everybody
and a half,
gets,
thank you.
Yeah, there you go. 8.5. Everybody gets a little bit more of that leash. And that's going to happen with Tanzer Alberto for now, unless they get someone at the deadline that pushes them off the roster. And that's what they're going to continue to do. They're going to continue to find out these matchups and try different things. And, you know, as long as they keep expanding or keeping the division lead where it's at, they can get away with it and they can figure it out. You know, another thing that maybe we talk about now is, and it makes sense. It's not a knock on Craig Kimbrel. Craig Kimbrel pitched the eighth inning. Craig Kimbrel pitched the eighth inning because he hadn't pitched in a while. The Dodgers were losing and there was no guarantee of a bottom of the ninth. But also, you know, the fact that they have Evan Phillips, I think probably enforces or, you know, helps that decision because they know, hey, if we do get the lead in the ninth or if we do need someone to pitch the ninth, we have Evan Phillips and that guy's been lights out for us.
Yeah, absolutely. I think everything you said is exactly spot on. Kimbrel pitched the eighth because they needed to make sure he pitched tonight. And the fact that they have Evan Phillips makes that possible. If it was, you know, David Price, the other guy behind him, chances are they say, well, we can't really afford to go with Kimbrel in the eighth because then what happens, you know? But yeah, they were able to do that because Evan Phillips has been nails. He is lights out. I'm sure he's going to give up an earned run at some point. But the fact is, Evan Phillips is really, really good, has great stuff against righties and lefties. And Craig Kimbrel looked great too. And I think everything about that seventh, eighth, and ninth innings with Ferguson, Kimbrel, and Phillips, they weren't just scoreless innings. They were perfect innings. 1, 2, 3 innings, all three of them against a really good Cardinals lineup. You know, it's and maybe when they brought Kimbrel, I thought, well, maybe they want him against the bottom of the order instead of against the top of the order. But really, I do think it was just that they just wanted to make sure he got the work in. You know, and going back to Hanser real quick, I want to make one other point. It's easy to think of a guy who just goes up there hacking as not putting a lot of thought into his plate appearances. And I was really impressed with his interview with Kirsten Watson after the game. One of the things he said, she asked one of those generic questions. What were you looking for in that situation? But his answer, he said, I knew they were going to throw me a slider. Everybody throws me a lot of sliders. And I knew what I need to do is look for a hanging slider. And he hung one and I hit it. Like he's aware of what's going on. The fact that he isn't like quote unquote disciplined as a hitter doesn't mean he's not up there thinking. And I mean, he's a professional hitter. And that's something that it's easy to forget sometimes when Dave Roberts is making a head scratching move or whatever, is all of his options are major leaguers. It's not like he's sending the kid on my 11U team who just put one ball in play in 24 games up to the plate. He's sending a major leaguer up there. And we can quibble about which major leaguer he should put into this situation. But Dave Roberts knows Hanser Alberto a lot more than we do. And Dave Roberts probably didn't just discover tonight, like I did, that Hanser Alberto is very, very cerebral about these at-bats and thinking about the approach that the pitchers are going to take against him and everything. Like I was really impressed with that. I know we had moved on to pitching, but that was one more point I wanted to make because I thought it was worth making. So I made it.
Hey, that's what you get now that MLB TV shows you the post game stuff.
Yeah, it's so nice. Yeah, I get the post game show finally and the pregame show, so I can hear Jerry Hairston still not know the word changeup, but he knows the word cambio.
Yeah, we'll talk about the pitching because you don't have these comebacks without the pitching, especially the relief pitching. You know, especially to back-to-back days, your starters end up giving up 6 and 5 runs respectively. So we're going to talk about that. First, let's talk about BetOnline because they're your number one source for all your betting needs and sports info. Mentioned earlier, they have live betting on BetOnline.net, and I would imagine that the Dodgers' odds were very low when they were down 6-0, and if you could have put a live bet on it, you probably would have won yourself a good amount of money. So head to BetOnline, check it out. They got all the latest sports developments, league reviews, and news for MLB. They got all your sports wagering information, live betting, esports, and scores, everything you need right there for all your favorite sports and events like MMA, boxing, and golf. So head to the website today on your laptop or mobile device. Learn more about the trends, learn more about the action. BetOnline, where the game starts. All right, Jeff, where this segment starts will be with the relief pitchers. We talked about it a little bit, touched on it, you know, but we touched on Kimbrel, we touched on Phillips. You know, Caleb Ferguson has a big inning in there. Vestia does give up the run, but, you know, limits the damage. He did have a couple other guys on base. And it goes back to yesterday's, you know, pitching as well, because the Dodgers could have had that comeback yesterday. The relief pitching pitched well enough after Mitch White had struggled to keep the Dodgers in that game. They only gave up the one run after Mitch White. And that was David Price late in the game, which ended up being the one run that the Dodgers couldn't get. But, you know, yesterday you got Bickford and Almonte holding it down. Today you had Ferguson and Kimbrel and Phillips holding it down. And as a whole, the Dodgers bullpen has been good the entire season. But also, while we've seen this last week, when you go down early by five runs, the only way to come back is, yeah, your offense needs to score, but you also need to keep the other team from scoring. And that's exactly what the Dodgers have done. And, you know, just goes to show that this bullpen is already good, regardless of all the questions and everything we've gotten about everything. Yeah, could they use another top-notch reliever? Yes. But could that come in different forms from Dodgers injuries and other things? Yes. So I think, you know, it just kind of shows that this bullpen's good enough right now. But also, you know, there's always room for improvement, but we're at a good spot.
Yeah, there's no such thing as an automatic reliever. Every relief pitcher in history, Mariano Rivera, the Yankees lost a World Series because Rivera blew a save, and he is the best reliever in history. You know, he was the only unanimous Hall of Famer in history, and the Yankees lost a World Series because of him and because Derek Jeter, the Joe Torre was playing the infield in farther than he should have, so the game-ending pop-up ended up going into the outfield. Anyway, that was the – you were 10 years old. You hardly remember that, huh? But, you know, there's no such thing as an automatic reliever, but the Dodgers have a lot of really good relievers. And I think, you know, I don't know how many guys there are who are going to be traded at this trade deadline who are clear upgrades over a lot of the guys the Dodgers either have right now or maybe have coming back. And that's the big question. And like we talked about on our mailbag episode the other day, the problem is we're not going to know until August about Blake Treinen and Dustin May and, you know, whoever else. I know there's at least one other guy who's out right now who we're expecting back. Yeah, but
Victor Gonzalez.
Oh, yeah, those two guys. And if the Dodgers get two of those guys, those four guys, and they're solid, they don't need any help in the bullpen. Two of those guys would already make it like, I have no idea what we're going to do with this postseason roster because we have too many pitchers. And so they don't necessarily – I think that's part of why Andrew Friedman hates trading for relievers, because you never know if you need them, you know, and even if you get the best reliever available, maybe he blows a save in the World Series, you know. It's nobody's automatic. But, yeah, what we're seeing is the Dodgers have a lot of relievers who definitely aren't going to back down from the moment, and they have the stuff to get the job done. Alex Vesey has been very good, even though he struggled a little bit in this game on Wednesday. Overall, he's been very good. And Phillips is, I mean, Phillips might be the Dodgers closer next year.
Yeah. And it's always, you know, Phillips is always the funny one to me because the Dodgers claimed him from the Rays. And, you know, if it's the Dodgers and Rays considered two of the smartest teams in baseball, at least especially when it comes to pitching, you know, the fact that they got him from the Rays is a little bit funny. But, yeah, I mean, like you mentioned, there's guys coming back that might not be good enough to make this roster. You know, Danny Duffy, who knows? Nobody's seen him pinch since, like, last May or June, whatever it was. You know, Tommy Kahnle's another one that I didn't mention. But even if Tommy Kahnle comes back and he's healthy, if the other guys come back healthy, I don't even know if he's good enough to crack, you know, this thing. I mean, he has the stuff to be able to. But, you know, he hasn't necessarily put it all together. And
he's only thrown a handful of innings in the last 2 years, too.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, I think if you identify kind of weak spots right now, you know, Phil Bickford's ERA is up there. But for the most part, he gives up runs in situations that aren't as dire. At least they don't feel as dire, because I don't feel any hatred or any malice toward Phil Bickford. So I think realistically, you know, he's giving up runs, but not necessarily. And he's not getting those innings he was getting last year. He's not in those high leverage situations as often. You know, he's more a sixth, seventh inning guy. The game might be close, but he's not in, you know, those eighth, ninth inning situations that he found himself in last year. Vesey is the other guy, and then David Price. You know, David Price's time on this roster, what we've counted him out multiple times. And you got to imagine that if it's not at the deadline, then it's definitely when some of these guys start coming back that, you know, he'll find himself DFA'd and probably picking, you know, I wouldn't say there's a contender out there that couldn't use him or at least a wild card contender that couldn't use him in their bullpen. So there's a lot to like from this bullpen. There's a lot to like that's coming. And that's kind of why when we talked about pitching the other day of how it is, you know, the Dodgers don't need to go after a reliever. They don't need to go after a starter. They need to go after, you know, kind of a best pitcher available at the price that they're looking for. And I know a lot of people kind of mention the price, you know, price, prospect price and everything else. This is where, you know, the Dodgers, like I said, if they don't make a trade at the deadline, they're still going to be a World Series contender. They're still going to be top three, if not one, in World Series odds just because of everything else and what they could have coming back. Now, the only thing, if not making a move at the roster, is that you're counting on everyone to come back and then one more injury and you're kind of a little bit in flux limbo. But the other part, too, is, you know, Ryan Pepiot might, if he's not traded for somebody, if they make a trade, you know, he's a guy that you're going to probably see get reliever innings, or at least they're going to try him in a reliever role at some point in the second half of the season. You know, Dustin May is going to be one. We get asked every mailbag question if he's going to start or relieve. It's going to depend on what the Dodgers need when he's coming back. I would imagine they're going to try to stretch him out. And then if not, if they don't need him stretched out, then they throw him in a multi-inning role, like a two-inning role, or, you know, even a one-inning role. He can be a guy that comes in and throws one-to-one. So it's a good time for the Dodgers pitching. You know, and the other part, too, that we talked about and you talked about before is Gonsolin. You know, he might regress a little bit. Maybe this was one of those starts where that's part of it. But the bullpen picked him up, the offense picked him up, and look what happens.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree. I just want to talk about Austin Barnes some more now, okay?
Yeah, let's get on the Barnes one.
That play. So I know you guys all watched it. I'm not going to recap everything for you, but so many beautiful things about that. The one that I thought I was the only person to notice it, I tweeted it out from our show account, and then Cody Bellinger actually mentioned it in his post-game interview a few minutes later. So he probably just follows us with his burner, and that's where he realized it. But Cody Bellinger only went to second on that play because Goldschmidt cut the ball off and threw behind Barnes trying to get him. If Bellinger isn't on second base when Max Muntz hits a sack fly, then at the end of that play, Bellinger is still standing on first instead of standing on third, which means that Bellinger's on first when Hanser gets his hit, which means the Dodgers won this game because Austin Barnes fell down. It's why he's the captain. You know, it's Barnes doing Barnes things. You think he messed up? No, he's just smarter than you. But the other thing I want to mention, Joe Davis's call of that. His, oh no! It's one of Joe Davis's greatest calls. You know, it's off the cuff. It's just in the moment, passionate, and just the distress and heartbreak in his voice when he sees that Austin Barnes is maybe going to get back picked at third because he fell down. It's just, you know, and of course there's the parallels to game four of the 2020 World Series. When Randy Arozarena fell down, and unfortunately the Dodgers didn't have three errors on their side to help Barnes get home there. But I mean, the Dodgers won because of that play. And I love the fact that Barnes and Bellinger both end up scoring, so everybody can just joke about it. Hanser in his postgame interview even said, if you're going to do that, we could have left Justin Turner out there. JT could have done that. And it was a thing of beauty since the Dodgers won. It would have been heartbreak, especially if he had been picked off. It was so – that was such a whirlwind of emotions in those few – a roller coaster in those few seconds, because I thought for sure when I saw him fall down, crap, he's going to be out. And I thought that was how the Dodgers were going to blow this game. But it wasn't. They won instead.
Yeah, but they're starting to get those breaks. And I think just the other part that kind of notes is this team – they're fun. They're having fun. They seem to all like each other. Not that that hasn't always been the case, but I do think this team is gelling a little bit different. You can see it, you know, even Trey Turner showing emotion now. Trey Turner's making t-shirts for Austin Barnes with the C on them. Like there was one thing where, you know, it felt like he wasn't quite comfortable with this team. And he even mentioned it when they were talking about all the Freddie Freeman stuff in Atlanta, that there is an adjustment period when you come to another team and kind of figure it out. He seems, you know, part of that team now. Freddie Freeman is part of the team. You know, Mookie Betts has been part of it. Everyone's part of it. Hanser, you know, is the fun guy. Austin Barnes seems to be like the kind of like, you know, captain, but also kind of like the mascot, like team mascot of sorts, kind of like that guy. So it's just fun to watch them now, and it's Shard and Shaw on the field. You know, they've really opened up the division lead in the last few months. They really, you know, passed up the Mets as best team in the National League. They're, you know, nipping at the Yankees now. If the Yankees have a stumble here in the next few weeks, and it's all starting to come together. And, you know, they're still not playing their best baseball, but they're playing their best baseball. I mean, they're not playing to the potential, but they're playing their best baseball of the year.
Yeah. And my last point, Dodgers up by 8.5 games on the Padres. And in case you don't totally understand what that means, let me put it a different way. The Padres are 10 games over 500. The Dodgers are 27 games over 500. That's what an 8.5 game lead means. That is really hard to overcome no matter how much season there is left. It can be done. The Dodgers can't let the foot off the gas, obviously, but it's a good situation to be in heading into the All-Star break.
Yeah. I mean, the only thing that about that is that the Dodgers and Padres play so often, but that would mean the Padres would have to go on an incredible run against the Dodgers and also win, beat the other teams that they haven't been able to beat this year. So, but yeah, not too comfortable. Keep it up, you know, go for that, you know, 107 wins, try to break the franchise record. So that's all we got for him today. Unless you got something else.
No, that's it. Great win by the Dodgers. Hopefully they can win the series and then head to Anaheim and sweep that thing.
Yeah. One note on Anaheim, they won't be facing Ohtani. Ohtani has now gone 4 starts with 10 plus strikeouts, becoming the first Angel since Nolan Ryan to do that. He's in some other company of, you know, strikeouts and one run or loud or something like that. He's on fire, but Dodgers won't have to face him pitching-wise, so that's good because it seems like these days the Angels only win when he's pitching. But that's going to do it for today. Thank you all for listening. Thank you for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen of the day every day. Come back tomorrow when we talk about the Dodgers' final game against the Cardinals and hopefully winning that series. If you need something else to listen to, check out Locked On MLB Prospects with host Lindsey Crosby. He's a prospect encyclopedia, and he's going deep on the MLB stars of tomorrow. It's free and available wherever you get podcasts. Like I mentioned earlier, you can find us wherever you find podcasts and on YouTube by searching for Locked On Dodgers. You can find us on social media, Twitter and Instagram, by searching for Locked On Dodgers. Jeff is on Twitter at Snydog. I'm at Vince Samperio. DMs are open on all those accounts if you need to get a hold of us. You can also get a hold of us via email, lockedondodgers@gmail.com, or via voicemail text at 323-863-5625. We're here every weekday morning, and we hope you'll be with us. When you get in your car or if you're at home, share your smart device, play podcast, Locked On Dodgers. And remember, you don't have to agree. You just have to listen. Have a good one.
We'll talk to you tomorrow.